How are we doing this morning? Hey, I just want to thank you as we continue. I know most of us give online and we take care of that when our paychecks come in or whatever, but we want to take the opportunity in the service to continually acknowledge that our giving is an act of worship, it's an act of faithfulness, and it's an act of blessing. In that, we also try to share with you some of the good things that are going on. So before I jump into the message, you know, most of you know that all of our missions money that's designated in local missions for this community, we pour out into the elementary school and in our partnership to bring a grocery store to this food desert here in Indian Head. And I am excited to share with you guys, because we talk about how God multiplies blessing, right? Like, the grocery store project is in the multi-millions, and our little $2,000 offering was just, you know, what we had to give, but it wasn't little in God's economy. And I wanted to share with you that a week and a half ago, the grocery store project received a $200,000 federal grant for, yeah. So federal money that is affirming the need and everything like that and in partnering with us. And I love how God says, see, if you trust me in this, see if I don't throw open the storehouses of heaven. And so I wanted to share that celebration and praise with you guys before we jumped into our message. And so this week we are picking up in this journey through Ruth, the journey from bitterness to blessing. And we're in week two. And last week in this message, we started with the fact that the whole book of Ruth starts with that ominous phrase, in the days when the judges ruled, and we're supposed to hear the dun-dun-dun, the dark clouds roll in, and there's all the drama, but it really was, because it was a dark and horrible time for the nation of Israel. And we learned last week through Ruth and Naomi in Ruth chapter 1, we learned that even in our battles, we have the opportunity to bless others. That in those battles, we need to hold fast to our faith when we are tempted to let go, when we are tempted to get mad at God and turn our back. Hear me, God can always handle you being mad at him. Read the Psalms, read King David. It's okay, but be mad face forward, y'all. Talk to God with all that you have. Bring it to him, right? But even in the midst of that anger or in that, we hold fast to our faith. That in our battles, we need to accept help. Because our tendency is to push help away. I got it. Either I'm so angry I don't want anybody near me, or I'm so angry I've given up that anybody can help me, or I just think I can gut it out on my own. And we learned that we need to accept help from our battle buddies. And in our battles, to resist the bitterness as much as it wants to set in. And finally, probably most important, the big idea last week, the bottom line was that even when we can't see it, even when we don't feel it, God is at work in our lives. And so we ended, actually, y'all, I think we should get an amen on that. I know y'all are a little quiet this morning, so I'm going to try that again. Even when we don't see it, God is at work in our lives. Amen, church? Amen. Okay. And we ended with this phrase because, remember, this story was told a few generations later. Like, they've been verbally telling the story and sharing the story of hope and redemption that is the book of Ruth, and they're getting it written down. And so the narrator pops in at the end with, so Naomi and Ruth returned to Moab. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving at Bethlehem just as the barley harvest was beginning. So where we started with famine, we see that the harvest is coming. This week, we're going to be in Ruth chapter 2. And again, we get a little bit from the narrator that I want to share with you guys that I want you to remember. It's important we remember, because if we're really going to enter into the story, we got to understand that this is a piece of information that Ruth does not have. So as the reader, we get a little preview. We get some foreshadowing here. And so Ruth chapter 2 starts with, now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Now, Elimelech, remember, is Naomi's dead husband, Ruth's dead father-in-law. And it says that this man of standing, and we can blow right past that. Some of your Bibles translate that a man of wealth, a man of position, a man of character. That's because the Hebrew word that they are translating has all of that wrapped into one word. In Proverbs 31, when it says you should want a wife of noble character, that is the same verb that is used here. It's the same adjective, that is used here. He was a man of standing. He was a noble man of character. He was a good man. He was a wealthy man. He, all the things that you could be, all the things that we celebrate in the dads in this room today, that's this guy, right? He's a good, righteous man. And we see that, and we get that headed into this. And so I want to invite you to tuck that back in your minds, because we talked a little bit last week about how being from the same family had some responsibilities and privileges with it. So I just want you to tuck that away, and I want you to read with me Ruth chapter 2. We're going to read verses 2 and 3 together. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean with the harvesters, Okay, so remember that they have come back. If you weren't with us last week, they have come back. They're husband and both their husbands are dead. They have no means to support each other. And we get this great pledge from Ruth to Naomi that where you go, I will go. Where your people will be my people. Your God is my God. That's what we had in Ruth chapter 1. And so they arrive. It's the next day. They're still widows with no one to provide. They're still widows with no food. They still have no means for themselves. And so we see that she says, "Let me go out and glean." And so you got to kind of ask, like, well, what is that about? Like, can we just, corn's coming up. Who likes corn on the cob in this room? Yeah, good corn is good corn, right? You think we could just, like, stop on the side? There's a lot of cornfields, like, knee-high by the 4th of July. We're past that. There's some good corn. You think we could just stop and pick some? Just stop in anybody's field? What is she talking about? We got to understand, right? So I just want to share with you guys, please nobody get arrested and say, "Pastor Jen said we could come pick your corn." That's not what, I'm not going to bail you out. That's not what we're going to do here. I just want to read with you real quick from Leviticus 19, because God's law provided for those who were in need. God's law provided for those who couldn't provide for themselves. So we are in Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10. It says, this is talking to field owners, landowners. "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather from the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." God has set up provision. God has set up a system of welfare for his people so that those that have leave some, so that those have not can come and pick, can gather. Notice God gives them their dignity. It's not just something they go beg for. Like, it's a matter of dignity. God provides a way for the people to work together. And so that's what Ruth is talking about here when she says, "Well, let me go out and let me go out and work." I have to ask, when we're stuck in our battle, anybody been stuck in a battle? Anybody feel like you've been on the same treadmill for a long time and you're trying to get past it? When you're stuck in the treadmill and your tendency is to get bitter, is your first inclination to jump up and go to work? To get out there? Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want to pull the covers. Actually, I'm always hot, so I don't want to pull the covers over my head, but I just want to sit in a room by myself and everybody else can go away and pout and mope. And this widow who comes as a foreigner, that nobody likes those foreigners. Nobody likes that particular group of people. And instead of curling up and crying in the corner, she says, "Let me go out and work." And if we're going to move in the journey from bitterness to blessing, the first thing I pull from this text and I invite you to take is that our participation positions us for blessing. God's blessing falls on the unrighteous and the righteous alike. There's all kinds of things that God does. God blesses everyone. We don't restrict his blessing. But can I suggest that we should position ourselves, when we participate, we position ourselves for blessing. So we have that, the narrator jumps in and says, as it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Do you notice a theme happening here? But again, Ruth doesn't know this. So in verses 4 and 5, it says, just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you, he said. The Lord bless you, they answered. Boaz, okay, I'm going to pause right there. So Ruth has gone out into the fields to work. She is working. And just then, by chance, the owner comes out from Bethlehem to the fields and shows up. Who's ever been in a really big farm, witnessed people harvesting, how busy it is? We've got a couple hands in the room. Like, it's a lot. Harvest season, there's hustle and bustle. We're going to learn that there were men, there were women, there were workers. There was a whole lot of people. I don't want to keep this so churchy that we miss this nuance, because he greets his people, blessing in the Lord. So in the days of the judges, when no one followed God, this man is greeting his workers. There's blessing in the Lord. And they respond back. But then he says, Boaz asked the overseer of the harvesters, who does that one young woman belong to? Can we skip the churchy voice? There is a crowd in this busy field harvesting. Boaz walks up and says, Lord bless you all. They bless him. And he's like, hey, wait, whoa. Who that? Just saying. Women, hard work can be attractive, apparently. So, let me back up, because I got all kind of lost in that. The first thing I want to ask us, because sometimes we're in the position of bitterness needing blessing or battle needing blessing, and sometimes we're in the position of the blessed one. And Boaz is walking in blessing right now. He's a wealthy landowner. He's an affluent man. And in a dark day when most people aren't turning to God, Boaz's first words to his workers are, may the Lord bless you. Now, I get that's a standard greeting, but there's a lot of ways that he could have greeted. So I have to ask us, in our blessing, if we are walking in a season of blessed, who do we point other people to? Are we the kind of boss that walks in? Are we kind of the kind of authority figure that walks in and walks past people? Or stops and sees them, addresses them? Not just, how's my crops going? How are my workers doing? But the first thing out of my mouth is, may the Lord bless you. What kind of a boss are we going to be in the midst of our blessing? I don't know. I feel like that's an undercover boss episode. But anyway. And then he sees Ruth. And I don't think his eyes or his thoughts are on the Lord in that particular moment, because he notices her from across the field and calls it out. And the overseer replies to him, I actually want to invite you to read with me verses 6 and 7. The overseer replied, she is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. So she came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. She came into the field and has remained there from morning until now, except for a short rest. What does that speak of her character? When we're down and out, forget down and out. Y'all, we were planting gardens last week. It wasn't that hard, or 2 weeks ago. I was worn out after 2 hours, and I consider myself to be in pretty good shape. She's been working all morning long into the afternoon with a little short rest. Ruth, who lost her husband, left her homeland, left everything she knew to be discriminated against by a people who didn't like her people. Life's really not fair for her. And she's out in the hot sun and she's working, and her work is her witness. And can I tell us that our witness will open doors or close them? So as we walk through our days, whether we're in bitterness or blessing, what is our witness saying about us to the people around? And are we closing doors in our own face? Or are we positioning ourselves in a way that opens them Online family, I don't know how you're doing, but it just got really quiet in the room. I think they want me to go. I think they want me to go back to the he noticed her. So I want to read to you just a little further. So we get this report that she's doing all these things, and she's out there, and she's working hard. And so Boaz approaches Ruth, right? And he says, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field." Okay, pause. I want you to be Ruth for a minute. You've lost everything, and you're in a strange place, and you're out there sweating and toiling, and you don't know how you'll be received, and it's really scary. And remember, she has no idea that this man is any kind of relative to her mother-in-law. And Boaz walks up, and this is what you hear. "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." Boaz is a man of character. How fitting on this Father's Day, as I look across the room, I see Boazes, I see men of character. Can I tell you that our world desperately needs men of godly character? But Boaz takes her and he establishes her position. He is welcoming to her. And not just because she caught his eye. There's more to it than that. Can we keep it real in the house? A lot of widows turn to prostitution. It was what they did to survive. Can we keep it real? He's a wealthy man. He didn't need to keep her in the field. He didn't need to give her an honest living. He didn't need to provide for her. He could have paid her off if that was the kind of man he was, or at least started with that offer. And that is not what he did. He said, "You stay with my women where you'll be safe." He welcomed her, not behind the women, but with them. He included her, not just at the corners. Remember the passage we read that the landowners were to leave the corners of the field. He said, no. Don't just stay in the corners. You stay right behind my harvesters as they go through it. He was generous with her. And he said, "I told my men, hands off. Nobody's going to get the wrong idea about you. I'm not going to have that in my fields." He was protective and he was righteous. Our culture has an absence of righteous men, and it is crying out. And it is such an honor and a privilege for the men that we have sitting in this congregation, whether you are in the room or you are joining our online family. Be you. Go out there and be mighty men of God that will be welcoming and inclusive, that will be generous and protective and righteous. We are cheering you on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We are cheering you on. And then we get this little cultural tidbit. If you caught it at the end, he said, "And then you get a drink from the water jars whenever you're thirsty." Now, we can pass right by that. A lot of you were in our Bridge Builders groups, and you read a passage that adds a little more weight to this during the week. But I want to read to you, actually, I'm going to have you read with me Deuteronomy 23. Because remember, we said there's this tension between the Moabites and the Israelites. Like, what is that even all about? Y'all with me this morning still? I want you to read this verse with me. "No Ammonite or Moabite of any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, not even in the 10th generation, for they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt, and they hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor in Aram Naharim to pronounce a curse on you." Great job, you guys. Can you back up that one slide? Because here's where I want to focus. "Because they did not meet you with bread and water when you were on your way out. Hold a grudge against the Moabites. Keep them at arm's length because they did not meet you with bread and water." And here is this Israelite man and this Moabite woman, and he can choose to hold the sins of her father against her. He can choose to stick with the grudge. He can choose to walk in bitterness because the Moabites rejected him, or he can lean forward and make a difference. The best way we can move out of bitterness is to choose blessing over bitterness. And he says to her, with no thought, I think, of what the Moabites didn't do for the Israelites in offering them water, he says to her, whenever you are thirsty, when you need a drink, my men have already pulled the water and put it in the jars. You go get a drink. That is the kind of people that God calls us to be. Now, Boaz does this, and Ruth is floored, okay? She turns to him and says that this, she bowed down with her face on the ground. Okay, that's custom. She wasn't being over melodramatic. That was very traditional in that time. But she bowed down with her face to the ground, and she asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me a foreigner? Now, she says foreigner, but how many times did his foreman say Moabite, right? Like, she knows. And Boaz's response to her, like, why would he do this? Read with me. Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Boaz says, why? Because I see what you've done. I see that you left everything behind to care for your mother-in-law because she couldn't care for herself. I see your walk and I see your witness. And Boaz speaks a blessing over her. And in this time, what does our walk and witness say about us? When we're in the thick of it, when things are not great, when things aren't going our way, what is our testimony? Again, really quiet. Y'all act like you're in timeout. You're not in timeout. I know you in this room. Like, you are some really amazing people who, in the face of trial, continue to pour out. But can I share with you, because you don't always get to see the results of what your blessing people does, it's these stories right here. She is floored. And Boaz has noticed her because of her character. And in that time, Boaz continues to walk in godly character. I want to read to you. Because they go on. He blesses her. Remember when she started her day, she said, let me go behind someone who I might find favor with. He not only shows her favor, but he prays God's favor over her, because that's the kind of God we serve, right? And it says, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread, dip it in wine vinegar. Again, replacing the curse of no bread and water. He's now given her water and bread. Anyway, keeping it moving. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. The people who came to glean from the fields didn't usually get invited in to the lunch, the meal for the workers. You guys got that, right? And not only did she get invited in, she was given such a portion that she had leftovers. And so she continues to read, and I'm sorry. I got all tangled up in this string right here. So we're just going to take a pause, shake it off. So he gives her this grain, and it says she had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, let her gather among the sheaves and do not reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them behind for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. In the dark time, we see that Boaz continues to walk in godly character. And in this dark time, you guys, we are called to walk in godly character. He showed kindness by inviting her into a meal with his workers. He showed humility. He could have pomp and circumstanced himself right up with, I'm going to let you pick from wherever you want to pick from, and let her know that he was the cause of her extra blessing, but he didn't. It says he waited until she got up and left. Then he pulled his workers aside and said, I want you to be extra gracious to her. I want you to do more for her. And so we have to remember that our blessing isn't always about our reward. As a matter of fact, it never should be. But God rewards what we do in quiet. Boaz prayed a blessing over her, and then he poured a blessing over her. And so are we willing to be the vehicle for the blessing that we've prayed over others? Because y'all, and I love our hearts, Bridge Church, this community is amazing at this. But people are afraid of the Big C Church all the time because the church speaks blessing and then their hand turns people away. And so from the grocery store council to the partnership with the elementary school, I love that you all are committed to pouring out blessing on others. But we have to ask, even in our own personal circumstance, as we pray a blessing, are we willing to be the vehicle for that very blessing? Now we go on, and I again want to invite us to walk in Ruth's shoes. She's tired. It's really hot at harvest time, right? She has traveled recently this very long 50-mile distance. She is a widow. She has all these things. She is well past halfway through her day. She has gathered a good bit. She has been given a meal. She has leftovers to take home, and she has the grain she's gathered. Who would vote for let's pull chocks, go home, and catch a nap at this point? Anybody? No takers? Okay, y'all are just that awesome. I'm so proud of you. The passage goes on. Read with me. Let's see what she does. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Pause. Until when? Who has worked from sunup to sundown in a field in your lifetime? 1, 2, 3, 4. How hard was it? Very hard. Devastating. Hard. Okay. Till evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to the town. I want to pause right there. So she works all the way until evening. And then we have this cute little, oh, she threshed the barley she had gathered. Do you guys know what threshing is? I want you to imagine being out in the field all day long gathering, and then you got to take a stick and beat the grains out of what you have gathered. You are already tired and hot and sore, and she beats out. And I think we get this image that she walks away with a little basket full of stuff. An ephah is 30 pounds. 30 pounds. She has gathered. I don't care if they were throwing it for her. She has gathered up enough, like 3 times, 4 times that amount to get all the chaff off to get to 30 pounds of grain. And then she picks it up. Y'all, I'm just going to totally confess. At 8:25 last night, I wanted to go to Tractor Supply and get a 30-pound bag of grain, and Pastor Vic told me I was crazy. I could not do that. But I want you, okay, the big bag of bird seed is 40 pounds. The big bag of dog food is 40 pounds. I want you to picture having worked all day in the field, beat the stuff down, and she takes this big thing and walks, doesn't put it in her trunk, doesn't put it on a donkey, walks all the way back. Go Ruth, right? Like godly men and godly women. Amen. This girl is my new hero. Like She-Ra has nothing on her. Okay? And so she carries this 30 pounds. And she gets to Naomi, and Naomi's like, oh my gosh! What? Where have you been? What have you done? She gets to Naomi, and she gives Naomi some of the leftovers. See, she, in receiving her blessing, she didn't hold it all for herself. She intentionally took those leftovers and took them back to Naomi, who didn't even know she had them, to share with her mother-in-law, to share the blessing. And so she gives her all this stuff. She comes in. She's got all this. And Naomi is like, where have you been? In verses 18 and 19, we see Her mother-in-law saw how much she gathered. Where did you glean today? Where were you? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. And then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today was Boaz. And she has no clue. So Naomi's watching all this transpire. She's like, where'd all this pour in from? And she goes, oh, it was awesome. This happened in this guy named Boaz. And Naomi takes a step back. Of all the men in all the fields, in all of Bethlehem. There's a classic movie line in there, you guys. You caught it. But can we say all the gin joints in church? I think we're quoting the movie. Of all the men in all the fields, Ruth happened to stumble upon Boaz's field. Read her mother-in-law's response with me. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She's like, what are you talking about? And Naomi has to explain that Boaz is in their family. Boaz can be the kinsman redeemer. Boaz cannot just be a handout or an opportunity to labor for some grain, but Boaz can actually redeem her and keep their family line going. And that's the field she happened to stumble into. And that's about the point that I say, that pesky God. That pesky God, he is always up to something. And if I had a bottom line to share with you today, because some of you are walking in the place of Boaz, you're walking in a place of blessing, and your actions have the opportunity to introduce Jesus to people and invite them into redemption. Your actions have the opportunity to pour blessing on them and change their circumstance. Just seeing them and acknowledging them and loving them in the name of Jesus is an incredible opportunity. And some of you are in the place of battle and bitterness, and we're still walking around those walls waiting for them to fall. And the bottom line today is that even in the hardship, because what Ruth did was not easy. Can we just agree on that? What Ruth did was hard. She is in the middle of hard in her life, and she goes and does hard. But in the midst of the hardship, God is still working for our good. We get a few more verses as they're wrapping up the story. There's some mother-daughter banter. Like, she's like, and then Boaz did this for me and this. And then her mother-in-law's like, you need to stay there. That's where you're safe. You need to stay there. And then we have the narrator come back in and finish out this chapter of the story. It says, so Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. That's a simple but rich statement. Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz. Ruth didn't try to connect herself to Boaz. She didn't try to manipulate the situation. She stayed close to the women of Boaz like she was told to. She stayed for the harvest. We can blow right by that. But those harvest times, that's 3 months of labor out in the fields. And it said, and she stayed with her mother-in-law. She kept her word. I'm just guessing, we don't know for sure, but I'm just guessing that since she was invited to the meal table at the first day, that somewhere along the line, they invited to give her a place to stay that was there on property. And she chose to walk every day from Bethlehem and back. She chose to keep her word. Where you go, she told Naomi, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. God is with us and invites us to be godly men and women of God. And in the midst of it all, whether we are in blessing or battle or bitterness, we have choices. We have choices about where we will position ourselves and what our walk will be in those positions. what our witness and our testimony will be. Those are our choices. And today I just want to encourage us that we would choose well.
Join me in prayer. Oh, God. God, I heard character. I heard character. I pray, God, that you find us gleaning when you look for us. God, I pray that we show ourselves hardworking, consistent, committed to everything you call us to do. And God, if you have us in a place of blessing, God, may our character be such that it looks out for and reaches for and blesses others intentionally with more than just our words, but with our actions. Thank you for how you love and provide through the hands of man. Through the hearts of man. Use us. Use us. Where we have been tired, empower us, God. May we be hardworking and persevering as Ruth's example is. Thank you for how you order every detail of our lives. Every step, even in times of bitterness and hardship, help us to see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.